Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, and yes, it is definitely another beautiful day in my consciousness. And I'm here with my friends. Hi, Bill. Hi, Cher.
Hello, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and yes, it most definitely is another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness. And as you folks know, who's listened to this before, and if you haven't listened to this before, you'll know that Cher and I are the co-founders of an online ministry called the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.com, and we've even supplied a shortcut for you to get there called yourspiritualpractice.com.
Yeah, and that's one you could bookmark because it's like an ongoing resource. So that's a very good thing. And I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com. I hope you'll bookmark too so you know where I'm going based on my calendar. And you can also see my absolute word. And if you want the absolute word, there's a way there that you can email me to get on my email list. And the list is growing nicely. I'm happy with that. And of course,
can I just say that anybody who's in a Unity church out there that uses the daily word, you need to check that out, the absolute word, and get it into your spiritual community so that you can start using that instead of the regular daily word. They do coincide, and it's a beautiful upping of consciousness.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's always rewarding for me when I go around the country and I find a church is actually using it. Yeah. A lot of individuals are, but one of the reasons why I did this was for churches. So we're going to be looking in our first segment at the law of soul building, And then about halfway through, we're going to pivot to Bill's book, Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited. And there's conversations going on in the background because we're wrapping it up and what we're going to do next. Cher has chosen your calling for us to look at and explore and expound upon, whatever it is we do. And then, of course, we're going to be looking at the absolute word. And the word for Sunday, August 25th, is unlimited. So, Cher, take it away with your wonderful reading skills.
All right. We are going to talk about the law of soul building. I guess it's the law of soul building today.
Yes.
We'll figure it out. And this comes from Charles Fillmore's book, Prosperity. And here's what he says. Faith is the perceiving power of the mind linked with the power to shape substance. What is that work? It is the work of making the proposition or man real to your consciousness. The character and attributes of the things in your mind become substantial to you because of your faith. The office of faith is to take abstract ideas and give them definite form and substance. Ideas are abstract and formless to us until they become substance, the substance of faith.
Yeah, so that is one of the very best definitions of faith, I think, in all the books, in a way. And that's the good news. The odd news is that we know that the power of imagination is linked with faith in order to shape substance.
Right.
So we're talking about really two powers here. And we know the powers are all working together all the time anyway. Yeah. And just as a reminder, a power is a divine idea, is a principle. They're not separate things. And so faith is the perceiving power of mind linked with a power to shape substance. So he claims it right there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which kind of supports the idea that faith without works is dead. What that means is faith without the other powers to manifest is pretty useless.
Exactly. And that really is more or less, I think, related to being kind of a blind faith that you're expecting something, someone else to do something for you. And
right.
So through the power of faith and substance, we make it more substantial first in our consciousness. And then when we build up enough of that substantialness or enough substance, then we can more easily manifest that thing outside of ourselves or in the world around us. Yes. So I really like it. Go ahead.
Paul, I just thought, why don't you give the listening audience an idea about the relationship between shaping substance and the idea of limitation?
Oh, so those are so linked. And he's really talking about it in this paragraph.
Yep.
It says, the office of faith is to take abstract ideas and give them definite form and substance. And so mm-hmm. we really have to limit these infinite ideas, infinite of potential, these infinite divine ideas in order to get something specific. Yep. Though I keep finding as I travel around the country, there is a definite allergy against the word limit in the unity movement. So they want to do words like reshape. And I talk about limitation and people. One person said, we ought to make it something like specification. It's a specification. It's like, yeah, but you know what? That's just avoiding. Yeah.
Right? It's really definition almost. It's giving a defining what it is you want.
Yeah. So defining, I like specific definition of the specific
but
defining.
Limit. Yeah.
But what you're doing to an idea is limiting it to something very, very specific. So
well, on a similar concept. Sorry. Okay, there's a great book out there. If the readers haven't came across it yet, it's been around for a little while, but it's still very relevant. It's called Laminated Space-Time, and it's by Barbara Dewey, who is a quantum physicist. And the reason I bring it up is it kind of relates to this because she said it, according to Laminated Space-Time, that whole theory, solids, which have mass, are essentially light slowed down, essentially light limited.
Yes.
As mass.
I hadn't thought of it. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, so does that link to the idea that we are, as human beings, essentially light? I hear that sometimes in more New Age circles, that we are light beings. And since we're physical,
yep.
to that.
Yep. We essentially are light particularized as us, and in a very real sense even, because we are conscious beings. Consciousness actually is faster than the speed of light. So in a very real sense, for those who haven't thought about it this way, we are conscious beings who use light. So we are more than light. We're not just light beings. We actually use light to travel.
Very cool. So when we talk about light, we're not talking about a metaphysical definition of it here.
Exactly.
Spiritual understandings. So light is made up of these things called photons, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And photons are, aren't they more like a wavicle? It can be a particle or a wave.
Exactly. Yeah, true.
Yeah. So in slowing it down, then do we get more wave function? No, more particle function.
Particle function.
And if it's particulate, it's mass. And if it's, it becomes solid, which is the slowing down of, just as I mentioned in the limited space-time, it's a slowing down of light.
Wow. So does that mean it's at a slower vibration?
Yes, much lower vibration.
Lower vibration. Okay.
Yep.
Very, very cool.
Isn't that cool stuff? That is cool. Wow.
And then we just have to circle back and link in to that word, was it spanda you were using?
Spanda, yes.
Yeah, that's spanda is a word, and that doesn't that reference vibration, a fundamental vibration or something?
It represents the primordial vibration that spawned our universe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Yep.
Pretty amazing. Wow. And so is that primordial vibration, that seems to be distinct from this consciousness thing you're talking about then. Because vibrations travel at a rate, and you're saying our consciousness is greater than the speed of light. And I'm wondering if it's more like, I've always thought of consciousness as non-local, that there's no place for it to travel to.
That's right. And that's why the speed of light is slower, because the speed of light takes us from point A to point B. And in consciousness, there is no necessity for a point A and point B because everything just is.
So then we could say, in a weird way, point A is point B.
Because
there's no place for it to travel to.
Wherever we are, we are there.
Wherever you are there, and you're here too.
And Einstein called what we're talking about spooky action at a distance.
Yeah, I love that definition.
Yeah, so that's sort of classic, isn't it? That idea of spooky. This is where we get into this science groove. And we might as well say this is kind of an area of discussion we want to add more and more into our metaphysical world too, because this stuff is spooky and cool and really underwrites everything. And Charles was definitely dancing on this edge somehow, some way.
Yes. I think he was too. Yes.
Definitely. And there's so much interconnection between the science and the spirituality if we just look at it.
And the other thing that's popping to mind is the concept that waves carry information, you know, like radio waves and all that.
Yeah.
And the piece I haven't been able to figure out is, do all waves carry information, or only certain information, or are there radio waves that don't carry information that we have to somehow load it in there? I don't know. My mind's going.
There are some people like Barbara Dewey who would say that waves are information.
Waves are, yeah. And so what does that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
there are certain kinds of information.
Yeah.
Just like here in the earth plane, in the plane of substance, there are certain kinds of information that travel faster than other information. They're called memes.
And now we're back to social media. Yeah. So we gotta get back to this.
Yeah, I just want to throw in one more little piece of that as you were talking, is it really helps us handle life more effectively if we recognize that everything is information.
Yeah.
Like even when we have, like, technology, when you get really frustrated because something's not going right, instead of getting mad, to just say, okay, what's happening is information.
It is information, yes. Yeah.
When you get on a scale and you don't like what it says, well, this is not anything to get upset at the scale about. This is simply information.
Yeah, blaming the scale for our weight is really a waste of time.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
And it's something we can remind our listeners too, when we talk about information, wasn't it one of our Unity greats, Eric Butterworth, who talked about information and outformation.
Oh,
I don't remember that actually.
Yeah, he did. I remember that. Yeah. That was in one of his books.
He had both concepts, and it's not so much the information we get, but what defines our spiritual growth is the outformation, when we actually put that information into practice.
Oh, so that is brilliant.
Yeah.
And not surprising, coming from Eric Butterworth. We're always putting, actually, of Course in Miracles says we're always teaching who we think we are.
That's kind of cool. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
So that's that out formation, and just be aware that what we're putting out says a lot about what's already in. Mm-hmm. And we did that, Bill, and I think the Get Over It books, you know.
Yes.
What you put out, people say we'll get back, and we say too late.
Exactly.
What you put out is already in. So
already in, or wouldn't come out.
Wow, so that was one paragraph of
quite
a paragraph. Building in the next program as we begin our pivot to Bill's book, and just knowing that we are all in the background, all three of us, working on projects. My project is the companion book to Use the Truth You Know on laws and rules, which is why we're doing the laws on this program. And your next book is on?
Universal Prosperity.
Yeah.
And the universal is spelled Y-O-U, Universal Prosperity, which is taking a look at reforming the whole concept of prosperity principle and looking at health, happiness, inner peace, and money matters.
Yeah, and we're really looking at, or you're really looking at, the way in which prosperity has been taught doesn't seem to be working or universally applicable, and so there must be something missing.
Yes.
Most prosperity teachers, when they person tells them it's not working, they tell that person you're not working it right. And now we're into that self-blame and guilt cycle, and we don't like that much.
No, because then it turns into almost like a magical trick. You've got to say the words just right, or you've got to turn around three times before you before you do your denial.
Or you have to hear that idea three times before you do it. The magic of threes, as they say. Yeah.
And if it's a principle, it works.
It works.
It's always working. So the principles of prosperity are always working, and we're obviously not quite understanding what that looks like, but we're feeling really good about some of the things we're uncovering.
Yeah, so I'm just going to tweak that a little bit from my understanding. I say it a little distinctly. The principles are, and we choose which ones we use and when we use them and how we use them. The laws are what are always operating. The laws can't be avoided. So like the law of mind action, you have a thought in mind with feeling, it's producing more thought. Mind idea expression, every thought feeling you have, you're expressing more thought feeling. Cause and effect are always coming together. And the principal part is related to that idea in mind idea expression. The principle is related to the thought that we're holding in mind. So for me, principles are always available. Laws are always in play. And a lot of people use the word principle interchangeably with law, and that might have been what you guys are doing there. I don't know. I'm just making it distinct in my framework, and you guys get to have your framework, right?
Well, then too, what you're saying about thinking, there was a maxim that IBM Corporation used to place on every manager's desk. And it was just one word, and it was all caps, and the word was think.
Think.
And so for people who don't think, you were talking about the law of mind action. Well, for people who don't think, that would be the LULL, law of mind in action.
Right, because
people don't think.
Yeah, so they are thinking, but the same thoughts over and over again.
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking about thinking new things. Right?
Yes. More enlightened thought. Yeah.
All right. So you guys ready to look at your calling?
Yes, your calling. And this is an interesting one that kind of ties in with stuff we've been talking about. Of course, it always does. Here's what Bill says about your calling. Those who think they must do only what they've been trained to do, told they're qualified to do, or forced to believe they can only do, and then settle for it, have made a choice to abandon their special purpose in life. I recommend you're doing what gives you energy and fulfillment. Do what brings you joy and a sense of completeness, something that brings you inner peace, something that helps make the world a better place for everyone. That special inner prompting may or may not mean you'll ever have a six-figure income, but it'll mean something much more than that. It'll mean you're doing what your heart-centered inner voice has led you to do. It'll mean you found your authentic spiritual self.
Yes, indeed. That is really a good one. As they've all been good, this is really reminding people that our calling is not something given to us by an outside force or present or super being. It's an inner knowing from our higher self, which you could call any number of things. I am, Charles called it Christ, whatever you want to name it.
Yep.
It's that authentic you. You said it here, your authentic self, and knowing what is yours to do.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of the things we've dissed a little bit, and is one of the popular sayings with prosperity is do what you love and the money will follow. Which does not seem to actually be a true statement at all. It can be true, but maybe not. And we've kind of said, do what you love. And if the money follows and allows you to do it financially, then you're ahead of the game.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't, then identify what financial resources you need and how can you go about achieving those so you can support doing what you love.
Yes.
That's the reality of it. And people need to wrap their head around that instead of that magical do what you love and the money will follow. Just ask dancers or teachers or, people.
Wow. So Yeah, wow. So those are such good examples. And of course, we relate to the minister's one. And I've known a lot of people close to me who were in the arts somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was what they loved. In fact, I had a friend in Puerto Rico. He loved oil painting. Mm. And he chafed at his job with American Airlines as a steward. And we had the conversation, look, when you have that job, it's providing you money and health benefits. You work 15 days a month and you got 15 days off to do what you love. So yeah. What if you love the American Airlines job as the means for you to do your art?
Exactly.
And that's a reframing process, which is one of the core tools in using the prosperity principles, is how do I reframe how I see things so that I have that different perspective?
Yep.
And then I value it instead. And then my calling becomes even more important and valuable because I'm able to express it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So if what you love is sitting on the couch, popping bonbons and
binge watching
something,
you better find something else to help support. You better find something else. At least pay for your cable, right?
Right, exactly.
And your bonbons.
Wow. Well, speaking of bonbons, let's do a mental one or a spiritual one or a mental spiritual one by pivoting now to the Absolute Word. And of course, the Absolute Word is my weekly blog. It's based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. This is Sunday from August 25th, 2019. The word is unlimited, appropriate that we're talking about that. My divine nature is unlimited. My divine nature is unlimited. When I focus on my day-to-day human experiences, it's sometimes hard to believe I am unlimited spiritual beingness. After all, I have errands to run, tasks to finish, or people to care for. While my time and my choices are limited, they are manifested from my unlimited potential. I express my personality and body from limiting the unlimited using the law of expression, which is essentially from the abstract to the concrete. I know the truth of my divinity. I pause, breathe, and remember I am divine wholeness, love, understanding, and so much more. My purpose is to love and be loved, to give and receive, to choose joy even among the errands, tasks, and caregiving. This life is my opportunity to consciously express the divinity I am in my personality and on the earth. My divine nature is unlimited. Wow.
Wow, that really fit everything we've talked about.
Yeah, so an affirmation I've been using occasionally in the last month is, I am wondrously infinite in finite ways. I know you've heard that from me before.
Yeah.
But, you know, I said it and then I realized infinite and infinite are the same letters. They're just a space. So we're wondrously infinite and finite ways, because we couldn't be a personality and body if we weren't limiting our unlimited potential.
Exactly.
Wow. Yep. All right. So we've wrapped up another Metaphysical Romp 2. And friends, thank you for listening. Thank you, Bill and Cher.
Thank you.
This is Paul signing off. Goodbye, guys.
Bye. Thanks for listening.
It's been our privilege.